Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 53 degrees under heavy overcast. Today is Tuesday, September 4th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. We're less than 1 month away from the municipal elections in Sitka. Between now and then, we're going to bring you a series of profiles on the candidates for office. This week, we'll look at the three people running for mayor. KCAW's Ed Ronco begins with the incumbent.
For Sitka Mayor Cheryl Westover, running for re-election was not an automatic decision. But she says there were a few factors that convinced her to go after a second term, not the least of which was her mother, Mardell, who died in May.
And it was real funny. She kept asking me if I was going to run again, and I really at that point didn't know. And there were points during her illness where we spent a lot of time talking, and she was proud of me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to run again, and if the people want me, I'll serve and work as hard as I can.
Westover was born in Sitka and raised here, and she says the city has undergone a lot of changes in her 61 years.
We've become a little city versus a sleepy little town.
And part of that, she says, is that Sitka is now a collection of different communities instead of one small one.
And they represent a way of thinking and a way of life. But I really think diversity is great. I don't always agree with these little communities here, and they don't agree with me, but that's okay. I respect what they do, and I hope they respect what I do.
Westover has been mayor since 2010, when she won a close election against John Stein. After a series of recounts, Westover was named the victor by a 2-vote margin. In Sitka's form of government, the mayor does not oversee day-to-day operations, but serves as the ceremonial face of the city. She also sets the assembly's agenda and runs the meetings. Her meetings tend to last longer than those of previous mayor Scott McAdams, sometimes running up against the city's mandatory adjournment deadline that requires them to be continued the next day.
I've been told to let people talk too much, but to me, I don't want anybody leaving a meeting thinking they haven't had their say. So if it takes a little longer to get a meeting done, at least people go away. They may not be happy, but they know they've had plenty of time to speak their piece.
But she's also cut off debate when it's grown contentious. Twice, Westover has turned off the microphones on other assembly members when they have refused to yield after being called out of order.
We're all going to have areas of disagreement, and that's fine, but you don't get obnoxious at the table. I sat on the assembly when there were times when it got pretty obnoxious. And it was allowed to continue.
Westover was first elected to the assembly in 2006. She says she wants a second term as mayor to focus on the challenges she's been dealing with so far. How to get the Blue Lake Dam raised, how to shore up Sitka's economy, and how to pay for repairs to the city's aging infrastructure.
We've got to come up with ways to raise revenues without hurting the public too much, but we're all going to have to share in the pain a little bit of fixing our community, and we can't stop building our community. Some people say, you know, let it just die. Well, then we become unattractive and don't encourage other people to visit.
And visitors are another area Westover hopes to focus on. She says the city needs to make itself more appealing to cruise companies while at the same time catering to the independent traveler. She talks about expanded marine services for the fishing fleet, enough energy from hydropower to meet the community's needs, and she says one day she'd like to see new life in parts of Sitka's economy that have disappeared in the last few decades.
I'd love to see logging come back to our community. I think we know how to be responsible with our industry. It's a renewable resource. I'd love to see that. To me, that would be success if we could have some sort of timber industry that provided good-paying jobs for young people.
Westover says she's optimistic about the future, but also that there are a lot of challenges ahead.
I don't think I'll ever sit back and say, gee, Sitka's doing great. Now, I may sit back and say, you know, it's somebody else's job to do, but I think there's always room for improvement.
Westover is joined on the mayoral ballot by Assemblymembers Tor Christensen and Mim McConnell. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear this story again on our website, kcaw.org. We'll be posting all the candidate profiles there. And join us Tuesday evening, September 18th, when the three candidates will answer your questions live on the air. A group of students from youth to elders is learning the Tsimshian language at the new Ketchikan Indian Community Technical Training Center. KRBD's Layla Carey attended a recent class and has this report.
Ketchikan Indian Community's new technical training center has a wing dedicated to language preservation. Almost daily, fluent speakers are recorded either at the center or in their homes, with the goal of not only maintaining an audio record of the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian languages, but eventually creating a series of textbooks to teach the Southeast Native languages into the future. KIC also offers beginner classes for each of the area's native languages. The class that's happening now teaches Shamalgyach, the Tsimshian language.
We have learned a lot from trial and error over the last 30 years in all the attempts to preserve language and teach it. Originally, everybody followed the westernized academic method. We tried to teach our native languages the same way that English is taught, but it didn't work.
That's instructor Terry Burr. She says the best way of sharing a language seems to be the tried-and-true method of one-on-one sessions between mentors and students. KIC's language teachers bring that method into the classroom. For example, when a student traditionally comes to visit an elder, they must announce themselves in the native tongue before they can come inside.
So you would hear a knock, knock, knock at the door. If you're the visitor, you would announce yourself. So, or an elder might say from the other side, Nayukwa, who is here? And then you need to announce yourself on the other side of the door. I would say, Terigwa. I can't come in until they tell me, tsin, tsin. That's our Tsimshian way of saying come in.
Students in Burr's class go through that exercise each day, taking turns playing the role of mentor and novice. Once they've made it through the door, students practice simple conversation skills with each other, such as, how are you, and I'm fine. Burr also gives cultural context to her students, telling stories that she's heard from elders. She says part of that cultural context is a sense of fun.
In our Tsimshian culture, we're very humorous people, affectionate people, and so we have a lot of laughing. And I think that's another part of distinguishing our teaching style apart from the westernized academic method, is that when we teach, when we're handing down knowledge, there's a lot of heavy responsibilities, but you don't have to do it with a heavy heart.
Burr's students range from the very young to elders. She says the older students often are dormant speakers and recognize words as the class continues. Included in the lessons practiced during a recent class were common animal names.
Who remembers the word for seagull? And that's that deep G. Sounds like you're gurgling.
The students took turns putting together simple sentences using those animals and some new words that Burr had introduced.
So she's saying, this is an eagle in Shamalia. Shkikwa. Oh, I go ahead. Okay, Shane, come up and pick up, choose an item and make your first sentence. Shakshloigam get.
Shloigam get gua.
Oh, show your friends on
this. Shak
shloigam get
gua'a.
Oh, am seven.
Shak shloigam get means this is a bus. The classes are open to everyone regardless of their ethnic heritage. Burr says beginners don't even have to wait for the next class session. They can come in any day and start learning Shamalgyach. For example, in a single class, this reporter picked up a few things. One, there's a letter called the barred L, which is challenging enough that I'm not going to attempt it here. Two, Metlakatla is called Taguan, which means of the island. And then this great phrase, Ashkadi Anogu Shkut, I don't like spiders. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
Ketchikan's Kyle Johansson is officially running for the District 33 House seat as an independent. The incumbent Republican representative dropped out of the party primary race earlier this year. State elections officials certified his general election petition last Monday. Incumbent Peggy Wilson of Wrangell won August GOP primary by beating two Ketchikan candidates, Agnes Moran and Patty Mackey. Election boundary line changes put Johansson and Wilson in the new District 33. Johansson says the three-candidate primary was just too crowded for him.
We had two people from Ketchikan on the ballot, and effectively that split the Ketchikan vote almost in half. and the total number of votes for Ketchikan candidates was higher than Peggy's total. But when you split the vote in half, things like that happen.
A third GOP candidate could have splintered the vote even more. Johansson also says he skipped the primary because he wanted more voters to consider his candidacy.
We came in about the statewide average, about 22%, but still that's low in the overall scheme of things. And for a presidential election year, we should be much higher than that.
Johansson and Wilson face off against Democrat Matt Olson in the November 6th general election. Some Republican in Ketchikan tried to recall Johansson last session after he gave up a leadership position and left the GOP-led House Majority Caucus. The candidate says he expects that to come up, but not to dominate the campaign.
Based on what I experienced while I was gathering signatures, nobody brought it up. It was not an issue. We talked about issues and things that affected people's day-to-day life.
Johansson and Wilson are longtime colleagues. Wilson has said she plans to run a congenial campaign, and Johansson says he'll do the same. This summer in Alaska's interior was slightly cooler than normal. The National Weather Service says the meteorological summer, the three-month period between June and August, averaged 59.5 degrees. The average is just 0.6 degrees cooler than normal, but made it the coolest summer in Fairbanks since 2008. Only 5 days throughout the summer saw a high temperature of 80 degrees or warmer. That's significantly below the normal number of 11 such days. The region also had a relatively dry summer. Not dry here today in Sitka. Rain is likely diminishing in the afternoon. Highs around 58, southwest winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, chance of rain in the morning, then rain in the afternoon. Highs around 58. This is KCAW in Sitka.